Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's Jeff Sherman.
Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. We will prepare for the 4th of July holiday and Independence Day this week on the show. Last week, we looked at AI from a very human level, a very Wisconsin level. Last Tuesday on the show, we had Todd McLeese from humanskills.ai. A friendly reminder, you can get all past episodes of The Upswing on WTMJ.com, or you can text UPSWING to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. Also at WTMJ.com, right in the upper left corner, you can always click to listen live or watch live and see the wonderful, sponsored by Horicon Bank, the wonderful logo icons. It looks really, really good. So you want to watch live, just me in the studio today, but you can always go to WTMJ.com and get all the information. So today we have Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project, which is focused on ensuring that the United States maintains its position as a global tech leader, especially in light of international efforts to surpass us. What American Edge does is mainly advocate for policy for U.S. tech entrepreneurs, and that can be a delicate balance sometimes, but a lot of this new legislation could have impact on businesses right here in Wisconsin. So our conversation with Doug is coming up after the first break. Should be wonderful, engaging, and enlightening. But first up on The Upswing, Dave Spano, president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us to check in on the pulse of the markets and more this Monday. Dave, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. So investors, without a doubt, seem to love AI stocks these days. And one of the most adept companies capitalizing on this trend is NVIDIA. Wall Street Journal today, we probably both saw the headline, no NVIDIA in your portfolio, you're just toast. How do you advise clients around AI investments, Dave?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, anytime someone comes in, we do obviously the first couple of steps, which is obviously take a risk assessment of every client and do an inventory. I mean, those are the obvious first steps that you have to talk about. But you know, people come in and go, what percentage do I have in equities? What percentage do I have in technology? And right now, NVIDIA obviously is the darling, and it's the name that most people know about. But, you know, we take a look at it, and so how does it fit into your portfolio? And maybe not just be buying that stock, NVDA, it's the ticker symbol, but perhaps you own it already. You might own it in an exchange-traded fund that buys tech stocks. You might own it in mutual funds or even an S&P 500. So likely you have exposure to it already because it briefly was the largest capitalized stock of all stocks in the world just the other day, surpassing Apple for just a moment. But if you are invested, you likely have some exposure to it already.
Okay. What other technology company investment advice or companies to keep an eye on are you looking at?
Yeah, there's so much. And you think about, Jeff, you know, it's not just that one name, but you think about, you know, all of the other subsets that are part of AI right now. You think about quantum computing and machine learning. Obviously, we're talking about NVIDIA, which is chips and graphics, but data and cloud computing. And in fact, you know, you remember the old gold rush. It wasn't just the gold that made the money. It was the picks and shovels. And, of course, how are you going to participate in that? But, you know, you think about Microsoft and Google and all of those companies and where they are in this investable stage. We're very early in this stage. I can tell you've been around long enough, but you know, we talked about what happened with the internet and smartphones and cloud computing. you know, now we're in generative AI, and it is going to be a big part of the business, all the way down to small businesses. And I think that is really what's exciting for a lot of small businesses.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about kind of the rise of AI for the rest of the show. And do you think there are any implications on like the future of the financial system and its stability? Is that something you keep an eye on?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly risks. There's no doubt about that, if that's the implied question. But there's also opportunities, and can you manage those risks? You know, the risk, of course, is, you know, someone calls up and says, you know, if someone calls to take money out of their account, you know, we just don't take that. We call the client and make sure. But, you know, there's crazy stuff about, you know, that you can have an AI voice. So you have to look at that. But think about the opportunity set that is in front of everybody right now. You know, small businesses can take online ordering or even place those orders that they get. That would be a good first step. But, you know, website chat bots or even service calls, all of that is an opportunity set for AI. So there is a risk. And you think about, you know, healthcare, what could happen there, you know, represents 20% of the economy. But in the financial services, yeah, sure. I mean, you can go to your chatbot now and ask a financial question. You may not get the right answer, but at least it'll be an attempt at answering the question now.
All right. What can we expect from this week's economic reports? Construction spending, job openings?
Yeah, there's a lot. And you think about what's happening just in the rulings from Friday and this morning. And it has an effect. You know, politics have an effect on economics. You know, we had the Chevron case on Friday, which has, you're going to have overreaching ideas that, you know, what could happen with this Chevron ruling this morning. We had the immunity case. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and that goes into economics, Jeff. So, you know, we have this PCE indicator, and that is the personal consumption, and that's really what the Fed looks at. And it's, you know, it's down to 2.6%. You know, their target's 2%, but it is still, you look at comparison to wages right now, and that's what we're going to have to take a look at. Wages weren't keeping up and are not keeping up with inflation. So the Fed still has their hands full right now, you know, keeping the interest rates at 5.5% when unemployment's down to 4%. That's something that we have to pay attention to. So let's watch the 10-year Treasury, how that reacts up a little bit today. And based on, again, politics and economics, we're starting to see something play out here over the next 90 days. Certainly we'll be interested in interesting. Make sure as you go through your portfolio, Jeff, and to your listeners, that you have an inventory, that your risk is aligned, because it's going to be a bumpy ride over the next 90 days.
All right. Very good. Thanks for spending time with us this morning, Dave. Enjoy the rest of the week, Jeff, and happy 4th if I don't talk to you before then.
Happy 4th to you, and thanks for having me on.
All right. When we come back from the break, Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us. Welcome back to the Upswing Monday show. Thanks for being here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us for the rest of the show. Doug, how are you this beautiful day?
Hey, I'm great. How are you, Jeff?
Wonderful. So before we dive into some of the work of your organization, tell us a bit about yourself. I know you're not based in Wisconsin, but you're a Midwest guy, which we love. And what led your background, and give us your path to the American Edge Project.
So I grew up in Michigan.
Okay.
And I grew up in the 80s, right? So you could graduate from high school and go to work for any one of the 40 factories that were in my small town, and have a great job that paid well and have a great middle class lifestyle. All right. So during that time, some short-sighted policy decisions really hurt our manufacturing base, right? Michigan lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs because of those decisions. Many of them shipped overseas to China. And so, you know, for me, I got involved in politics from there because I said, you know, I got to have people stand up for my people, because it matters, you know, what we do with our important industries. I mean, Wisconsin during that time lost 25% of its manufacturing jobs. So that kind of brought me to the American Edge Project, because I didn't want to see the same thing that happened to manufacturing happening to technology, because at the end of the day, technology is America's competitive edge over the rest of the globe.
So who are your members and the leaders of the organization? And give us a little background on just the spirit of the mission as a whole.
Yeah. So what American Edge's mission is designed to do is to advocate for the American technology industry to make sure that America remains number one in tech innovation, especially against the challenges that are coming from China. Like, we are in a very, very fierce tech competition with Beijing. And so we have a great bipartisan leadership team, right? We've got on our board, we have a former FEC commissioner, we have a former governor, former congressman, each of different parties. And then we have advisory boards for national security, for the economy, and for, you know, technologies that relates to values. And these are all really well-known figures, from senior military leaders to former CIA directors to former senators, all folks who bring a different view, kind of a different perspective of the importance of technology to America's leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it gives you the ability to kind of look at things from all different angles and really see the value, and specifically the small business implications of AI. And that's one of the things I want to dive into after this next break and talk about your op-ed from Newsweek recently, where mm-hmm. you called AI America's modern-day moonshot. We're talking to Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project. This is The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us today. Doug, thanks again for your time this morning. So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, saw your op-ed in Newsweek, and you really do a deep dive into artificial intelligence and the role AI has in our economy. Your piece is titled America's Modern Day Moonshot. Why don't you tell us more about that, please?
Yeah, sure thing. Look, the importance of artificial intelligence can't be overstated, right? So I'm almost 60, right? So I was around at the beginning of the internet when everybody's like, what is this thing? You know, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to last or not, right? Well, 20 years later, the internet and the digital economy has fundamentally changed how we live, how we work, how we network, how we live our lives, basically, right? And so when I look at artificial intelligence, I see a technology that is going to fundamentally transform our country, every single business sector. It's going to cure disease faster. It's going to revolutionize education. It's going to do this incredible amount of things, but only if America is the country that is the one that leads in AI and then leads in the selling and deployment of AI across the globe. Because our biggest rival in this is China. And so think back like 70 years ago during the space race, right? America and an authoritarian power, the Soviet Union then, were in a neck-and-neck race for global leadership. The Soviet launched the Sputnik satellite first, and we responded by saying, you know what? We're not just putting something in the air. We're going to go to the moon, we're going to land on it, and we're going to come back. That's what AI can be.
Yeah.
It can be our modern-day moonshot, where we come together as a country and focus on, this is the goal we got to do. This can help accelerate innovation. That's going to accelerate people working together, and this is going to build lasting, decades-long benefits.
So as we see continued growth in generative AI, you know, if the goal in the 60s was get to the moon, what's that goal now around AI, or what's that shared collective goal that we should have?
Yeah, the shared collective goal has to be to make sure that we win the tech competition against China. The winner is going to be decided in the next decade, Jeff. And with that leadership is going to come decades-long advantages in national security, economic prosperity, and kind of which country has their value set influencing the globe. Because when it comes to tech, right, America and China have two very different value sets.
Yeah.
We believe tech should be used by individuals for empowerment, for democracy, for expression. China uses it for censorship, control, and suppression.
Yeah, and we're definitely seeing a lot of that opportunity on the small business side here in the United States, for sure. What are some of the ways that small businesses in particular are using AI to become more profitable? And what do you see kind of moving forward into the future?
Here's the great thing. This is an incredible tool for small businesses. There's 460,000 small businesses in Wisconsin. Many have 1 to 3 employees. This tool, just starting from a marketing standpoint, right? The hardest thing to do as a small business person is creating blog posts or writing content for marketing, things like that. Artificial intelligence, even at its early stage like this, can write really compelling content about your industry, about your product, about why people should come to see you. So just that alone can help add additional person power to a small business who's kind of struggling, working 50 to 60 hours a week to make sure that they can, you know, do everything they need to do to be successful. Mm-hmm. And then when you combine that with the other tech tools that America has to offer, like, you know, social media, online marketplaces, and things like that, it becomes a really powerful accelerant to that small business's success.
Yeah. Well, and from the kind of the average consumer lens, how can consumers use it and really see it as, you know, not just a business and government tool, but something we can use in our everyday life?
Yeah. So, first of all, it's really easy to use it because right now almost all of it is free, right? So Meta has its version on Instagram that you can go use, and WhatsApp. Google has its free version. Gemini, OpenAI has its version. Like, there's an abundance of artificial intelligence resources out there that are very simple to do. As simple to do as a Google search, mm-hmm. where you just ask your natural language questions. So I use it for a lot of idea generation. I was like, hey, I want to write a column on something like this. What are some ideas that haven't been written that much?
Right.
So it just helps speed up that idea process.
And using the proper prompts really helps mm-hmm. provide, you know, good data back.
Yeah, and it's also like you can use it for like, hey, I'm trying to organize my garage. What's the best way to do it? And yeah. here's how, what's the timeline to tackle that too, right? So the uses are endless on this. And it only gets better over time.
All right.
And so I'd encourage people not to be afraid of it. This is an opportunity.
Welcome back to the Upswing Conversations at the intersection of life, business, and community. You can't talk about any one of those without talking about AI today. Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. From his Newsweek op-ed, let me just read this. As with the space race of the 1960s, today's policymakers must view these challenges not as roadblocks, but as catalysts for greater innovation and commitment. This is the essence of the American spirit, one that has seen us through the trials of World War II, spurred the interstate highway system, propelled us to the moon, and brought about the digital age. Doug, obviously right here in Wisconsin, Microsoft is investing more than $3 billion in data centers in Mount Pleasant, which are needed to help AI work and much more. It's a pretty exciting time in Wisconsin with Microsoft making this huge investment. But specifically, it's about training workers in AI-related mm-hmm. skills and helping businesses that are going to be equipped to use AI to the fullest. What impact do you think Microsoft and AI will have in the state of Wisconsin?
It's going to be giant. Look, Wisconsin was already a tech leader even before the announcement, right? Tech accounted for about $20 billion of the economy in Wisconsin. But then when Microsoft come in and says, like, we're going to do a $3.3 billion data center, that's one thing. That's 2,000 kind of immediate jobs in construction. But the fact that they're training, you know, all these different businesses in the state on how do you get the most of AI for your business. Then they're investing in talent pipelines, both at the high school level and the college level, to make sure we've got, you know, the scientists, the technical folks, the engineers, the mathematicians, as well as blue collar folks to maintain that facility. Those are huge multipliers for the state that's going to mean jobs right now, but then also jobs for the next several decades. And so it's a perfect trifecta for the state of job creation, workforce development, and then training businesses. It's great.
Yeah, I feel like from a small and medium-sized business standpoint, and a lot of the leaders we have on the show are figuring out how to play offense and defense at the same time around AI. So how can Wisconsin businesses and policymakers really best leverage this investment for future growth?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you reference that Newsweek piece, right, it was really about what threats are we facing to AI leadership. And I talked earlier about the threat from China for our innovation leadership. But the other threat is excessive regulation, right? We sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot with legislation that is well-intended, but actually has really long-term damaging consequences to a sector that we really care about. And so at the federal level, lawmakers have tried to pass things like antitrust legislation, mergers and acquisition restrictions. All of these things are critical to the innovation ecosystem. And so I would encourage lawmakers in the states and business leaders in the states to say, hey, listen, we've got something precious in the state with this data center, with the technology footprint. We want to make sure that we are passing laws that help accelerate innovation and help accelerate consumer benefit. Because if you can do that, there's no self-inflicted wounds, right? That's playing both offense and not fumbling the ball, right?
right.
That's key.
What are your thoughts on like a blueprint, like almost a blueprint for AI and a bill of rights for small business owners? Would that be something that, you know, both sides could look at that could have, I don't know, a way to kind of create guardrails and a framework for policy?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to AI governance, I think governing the lightest hand possible is the best approach. That's how we developed the internet. But I would give kind of four principles for AI governance. The first is, and they're all based on kind of foundational American things when it comes to the internet and digital things. The first is innovation and openness, right? Our progress in AI depends on an innovation-friendly environment. And that includes encouraging a broad spectrum of AI models, including open source ones that can help reduce research barrier costs, make it more accessible for small business. The second part is this: how do we govern this? It has to be based on American values of openness, transparency. And then the third part is, look, we need public and private partnerships. That's the way you guys landed that Microsoft plant. I mean, you deployed the Packers, for gosh sake. Who can beat that, right?
You got to leverage our strengths.
You did. I mean, it was great. And so I think if we leverage all different sectors' talents, right, from academia to citizens to businesses to the government, like that's going to help us create the right, how do we make sure we go forward in this? And at the same time, too, like Wisconsin has a global footprint when it comes to tech now as well. And so I think the more that we can, like at the start of the digital age, when our vision of the internet influenced the rest of the world, I think it's really important for state and federal leaders from Wisconsin to influence the world on, look, here's how we're doing it here, and it's working great. Well, this is the model that we need to do, because what China's trying to do is they're trying to export their vision of kind of digital authoritarianism, where technology is used for censorship and control. They're exporting that to the rest of the world. And so Wisconsin is a great trusted voice on this in the marketplace. And I think they can have a lot of impact saying, look, here's the right way to kind of put guardrails or governance principles along AI that gets the best of all worlds.
All right. Leveraging and keeping an AI on AI's potential moving forward. We'll talk about that after the break. Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us on The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Thankful that Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project is able to join us today. So, Doug, how can both parties really come together around possible legislation, age gating, use restrictions, as you've mentioned? Do you see that coming? And what could be the impact on businesses, not only here in Wisconsin, but, you know, across the country?
Well, like I said with my manufacturing example to start, right, government can either help accelerate these things or they can really throttle the growth of different technologies and different industries. And so I would just urge Democrats and Republicans in Washington and also in the State House to take a very measured approach to this, because sometimes we get too insular in our view that, you know, like America is the only one we're dealing with, or our state or our local government is the only one we're dealing with. We're dealing with a hostile foreign power in China who is investing $1.4 trillion to dethrone the U.S. when it comes to tech leader. And if you think China's intentions are good when it comes to technology, I got another thing coming to you, man. And so I think, you know, we kind of think about this 4th of July holiday. I'd ask lawmakers to think about, okay, what are the values that this country makes us a shining city on the hill, right? And what is the unity or purpose that has taken over time to sustain that position in the world? And, yeah, we're polarized right now politically, but tech is so important to our national security, our economy, and our values that winning that AI race requires this team to come together in a way, kind of like the Bucks did last year and winning the title, right? Like that's the way it's got to come together. Everybody's got to do their part. So Democrats have to work with Republicans to say, look, what's our long-term vision of this, right? How do we make sure that we remain innovation leader and that these tech benefits – hit every single sector of society, from, you know, the poorest community in Wisconsin to the highest area to all around our country. And then how do we export that model across the globe? Because the more we can export America's vision for technology, the more democratic the world's going to be, the more peaceful the world's going to be, and the more prosperous the world's going to be. And that benefits all of us. And so I'd really encourage lawmakers, when they're thinking about, okay, what do we have to do about tech? It's what can we do to accelerate innovation? That's the question they've got to be asking.
Yeah. All right. When we come back from the break, I want to kind of wrap up your conversations around Independence Day. How do we continue to make sure that the U.S. remains a global tech leader? Talk about some of the other work and technology direction that American Edge Project is working on. And, Doug, I'm going to need to know, like, in terms of the tech race, how do we ultimately know who won? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing on this Independence Day week. Doug Kelly from the American Edge Project joins us from his Newsweek op-ed that was published a couple weeks ago. Achieving American AI leadership will require a tight, trusted partnership between government and industry, one that rises above partisan fights and has a continuity across administrations. So, Doug, what are some of the other technology issues that the American Edge Project is engaged in?
Yeah, so our organization focuses kind of on three core pillars when it comes to technology: the importance of technology for national security, the importance of tech for economic prosperity, and the importance of free and open internet. Those are the things that we really focus on. So whether it's making microchips, whether it's advancing AI, or even the more distant technologies of the future, like quantum computing, fusion, right? The cleanest energy supply possible. The more that America leads in those technologies, the more market share we'll have, the more trillions of dollars of value we'll sell to other countries, and the more products we'll make right here. So, you know, for us, we advocate really strongly to try and educate both the public and lawmakers on what's at stake in this tech race.
Yeah. So as you talk with your board and your members, I'm sure you get the question, you know, Doug, hey, how do we know if we're falling behind? How do we know if we're ultimately winning the race? What's your answer to that?
You know, it's funny you asked that, right? Because I was thinking, like, you know, there is no we've landed on the moon moment
right
when it comes to tech race, right? There's nothing, there's no image that comes back. So I would say there's a couple of things on this. One, are we making more tech made in the USA, right? So you guys have that great data center coming in there. I live in Ohio now. We have a great big microchip plant coming in from Intel. So it's about a $20 billion plant. So are we making more of the critical technologies here in America? The second part is, are we leading in world-class innovations, like when it comes to AI, like when it comes to quantum computing? And the third thing is, what's it doing with our jobs and the economy, right? The tech industry drives so many different job creations and opportunities and wealth across a number of different industries. Is are we creating more jobs and growing our economy overall? And I guess the fourth thing I would add there is, how's our security, right? Are we being actually more secure because of the technology we're deploying and the threats that we're checking from China? I would say those are the four things there. They're not as clean as a space landing, but, you know, that's how we know we're winning.
Good benchmarks and pillars for success. So I saw in your background that you spent some time at the Make-A-Wish Foundation. How do you see technology and innovation kind of intersecting with philanthropy and social good? I mean, that's a little, you know, maybe not necessarily germane to what you're doing today, but intertwined for sure.
Well, look, the core values of Make-A-Wish, right, were hope, strength, and joy, right? That's what a wish does to a family and a kid who needs it the most. In some ways, like, our focus on innovation as a country, right, innovation is hope for the future, right? It's about the joy that these technology products bring, and it's about the strength that, you know, we get as a country from having the world's best technology in terms of security, in terms of economic competitiveness. So for me, when I, at the end of the day, I'm fundamentally optimist, if you can't tell, Jeff.
Like, I love it.
We make good stuff happen in this country. That's always who we've been. And even through our down times and polarized times, this is what we do. We are focused on hope and showing that example. And we can do that through a lot of different ways, through, you know, great nonprofits like Make-A-Wish, through leading technology that improves people's lives and gives them a voice. This is what America does, and this is why we're so special. And that's why we're so insistent as my organization in protecting America's technological edge, because it matters.
Very good. Optimism and hope. That's what we're all about at the Upswing. AI is America's modern-day moonshot. Doug Kelly joins us today from the American Edge Project. Doug, thanks for your time. Enjoy the week and have a wonderful 4th of July.
You too. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep. We'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, preparing for grilling this Independence Day weekend. Fritz Usinger from Usinger's Famous Sausage joins us. We'll see you tomorrow.